Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not a very pretty and pleasant day outside, but let's make it beautiful inside of the sanctuary this morning with our attitudes and our love and our worship for God. A few announcements. You can go over these and peruse these yourself in the bulletin. You already know about the prayer and praise requests, how to fill those out. Mind you that we have a nursery care worker next door, and the library is available for a crying room or coughing room. And speakers should be plugged up. If it's not, you can plug it up. Women's Association will meet after church today. And deacons are meeting today after worship. It says in the library, but they're going to meet in McFadden Hall next door. Bible fellowship every Sunday at 9:30 with Bill and his group, and they've got a nice big group. Looks like they're having a good time. Per capita, it's $27.15. That's for each person in the church that is a member. That is money we do not get to keep here at the church, but we have to mail in to Presbytery, and that pays for Presbytery, Synod, and General Assembly. Most of it staying in Presbytery to pay those local bills and mission work here in the Pittsburgh area. So, but we pay our full bill regardless of what comes in. It's around $3,000, a little more than $3,000. Women's Association luncheon this Thursday from 11:30 to 1. They always use help, and the main course is ham balls. Those are always really good, and if you want to eat, you can call the office and make a reservation. If you want to help, you can also call. Well, the hotline you can read about my schedule. And the Bread of Life Food Pantry has opening for a manager's assistant part-time position. That's down in Etna. I believe that's everything. And if you take your red pads and pass them and sign them with your name, address, that type of information, we'd be glad to have that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise is Here He Is on 256 in your red hymnals. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our baptism. We worship you for giving us such a wonderful reminder of our relationship with you. Forgive us when we continue to sin. Help us to change our lives. Teach us how we can be true disciples. Remind us that we need to be a clean and a holy people Show us how we can identify with Christ as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us seek a true unity in our faith as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you happen not to know someone's name or forgot it, be sure to ask them. Responsive reading is 685 Christian Conduct, 685 Christian Conduct. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God.
Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth.
For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
When the Christ who is our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. If these you once walked when you lived in them,
then now put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth.
Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. This time, invite the elder on the door to come forward.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Kathy Sagey has two prayer requests, one for Sandy Salmon. She's having shoulder replacement, prayers for the pain relief and a fast and active recovery. And she's going to be at St. Margaret's. And her husband, Sandy's husband, Patrick, prayers that his faith remains strong, and pray that his new health problems resolve and the current ones remain stable. Patty Gamrod, prayer request for a mother and husband. Her mom is now at a resident at Kane, and her husband will be going to hospice care with the VA. He's currently staying with his son until then. And Shawnee asked for prayer requests. Pray for members of our session and deacons as they start out their new year. Thank you.
Let's also keep Bev Ruby in our prayers. I was looking to see if she was on here. She's been ill for a while. And let's keep her and Paul in our prayers. People are often asking, so I'd like to update you and let you know we can be praying about this. Robin is moving to South Carolina, purchased a home 45 miles outside of Myrtle Beach, or 45 minutes from my dad, outside of Merle's Inlet, Myrtle Beach, and moving on the 21st. So wishing her the best and God's blessings in her life and her new adventure down in South Carolina. Isabel Mellinger was operated on Friday, removing toes on her foot, and she's having kind of a difficult time, so we need to pray for her. She has good spirits, but needs to get those white blood cell counts up, so let's keep her in our prayers also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day seeking to humble ourselves before your mighty hand. The Word of God teaches us that you are a holy and a righteous God, and you have called us to be holy and righteous. It's not easy for us because we're caught up in the trials and tribulations of this world. We're caught up in our human nature, and it fights against what you have called us to be and to do. So we ask for your help to help us remember our baptism. How many of us were baptized as infants, some as adults, some as teenagers. We may not all remember the moment that we were baptized, but we can certainly think about its meaning and all the baptisms that we have witnessed. It's not just something that we do. It's not just a rite of passage. It is a sacrament. It is something holy in our lives. Help us to think about it as we go about our daily lives, on how we think about responding in life to all situations, how we treat others, how we act. If we're about to sin and we know that it's wrong, help us to pause and think. Remind us of our baptism and our relationship with you. And say, no, I cannot do that. That goes against my Christian values and who I am. It goes against my Lord and the kingdom of God. Help us truly be the disciples that you have called us to be. Help us to put away the things of the flesh and move forward toward your kingdom. Help us mature in our relationship with you. Help us look into the Word of God and see what it says about our lives, about your nature, about what Christ has done for us. Help us not to sin, but if we do sin, remind us to confess those sins. Remind us that baptism and our relationship with you in no way gives us the right to continue in sin. That we owe it to you and to ourselves, to our family, our friends, people we work with, our church, our neighbors, to do everything that we can to make our lives right and holy. So we come together to worship, to pray, to sing, to fellowship, break bread, have communion, baptism, to work together not for our glory, but for yours. So we pray for one another. We lift your kingdom up throughout the entire world. We lift the Presbyterian Church USA up. We lift Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church up before you, asking that you guide us and help us in every way possible. We pray for the sick among us, whether it be mental, physical, spiritual, financial, relational. Touch their lives. Help them. Be with them. Let them feel your love and draw them closer to you. Lord, we see so many examples in the Bible of people not living right, but then they seek to get their lives straight and grow closer to you. Help us to do the same. And Lord, thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Baptized in Water. powerful prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness, the glory that fills the earth. Help us have a sense of joy for giving to you, using our gifts, never for our glory, but always for yours. Lord, thank you for every good gift that has come from above. Let us be able to touch people's lives so they can hear your name, know who you are, and receive salvation. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture, selected by Leonard, is about the baptism of Jesus. It marks the beginning of Jesus' mission on earth. It's where he begins. Afterwards is when he is tempted by the devil. And after that, he begins preaching the good news. Baptism is a sign of renewal. It's a sign of being washed of your sins. It's a sign of being reborn again. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Matthew 3, 7, 13 through 17. Punctuation mark. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, who I love. With him I am well pleased." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
You know, June is still and always has been a popular time for people to get married. In the 1500s, people would take their yearly bath in May. So they would get married in June. Hopefully they would smell a little better. Makes sense to me. However, with the month having passed, they were starting to acquire some new odors. You know, most of us bathe daily or every few days or hopefully at least once a week. So brides would carry a bouquet of flowers. Most of you brides did that, whether it was a big wedding or maybe you got married in Vegas, you probably still carried a little bouquet of flowers. Hence the custom marked today of carrying a bouquet of flowers when you get married. That's where it came from. Traditions start somewhere. You know, baths consisted of a big tub in the 1500s being filled with hot water. The man of the house had the privilege of the nice clean water. You know, men used to rule everything and they were atop and then it went down, different society today. Then all the sons and then other men that might be living in the house and then the women and finally the children. And last of all, the babies were put into the bath water. You know where I'm going with this? And so by then the water was so dirty you could actually lose someone in it if they sink to the bottom. So the saying, "Don't throw the baby out with the bath water." The reason behind it. Thankfully, our personal habits have improved a bit. However, there's some scientists who contend that our focus on our obsession with cleanliness as well as increased use of antibiotics is actually responsible for a dramatic increase in allergies ranging from asthma to hay fever and other things that are attacking our bodies. The argument, according to Science News website, is that by stamping out innocuous organisms, we have weakened some parts of the children's immune systems. And they're telling us they think that maybe children that grow up on farms and played in the dirt and farm animals grow up with stronger immune systems. And maybe children need to be exposed to a few germs in order to protect them from diseases later on in life. However, this is not how most of us were brought up. I was telling somebody this the other day. I was brought up hearing all my life cleanliness is next to godliness. And I was always had to be clean, had to wash my hands before I could eat. I still can't go to one of our church potlucks without slipping out, going to wash my hands, come back to eat. I just have to do that. We've been taught, but that is not found in the Bible. I grew up all my life thinking, that's in the Bible. But it's not. That saying came out of the 1500s, 1600s from John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church. And he was not talking about washing your hands or your face or your hair or even your whole body. He was talking about your holiness, having a clean person from within. This whole thing is really a fascinating issue. I was watching on television the other day. Some people are trying to stop these antibacterial soaps that we've got spread around here, that we're overusing them, and just regular soap is good enough. So today we're talking about cleanliness because of our scripture for today. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus made a journey from Galilee to the Jordan River for the purpose of being baptized by John the Baptist. And that's why he's named John the Baptist, because he's baptizing people for repentance of sins in the Jordan River. We don't know exactly where on the Jordan River Jesus was baptized, but it had probably been 60 or 70 miles from where Jesus lived in Nazareth, and it would have required a difficult journey, probably of several days on foot. 60 miles to us is nothing. We hop on a car, we're there in less than an hour. Here was Jesus going to all this trouble to present himself, an itinerant preacher, out in the wilderness for the rite of baptism. Imagine the Son of God being baptized by a mere mortal. Here was the only man in the world without sin undergoing a rite which symbolized, at least in part, having your sins washed away. What a wonderful thing. And John preached a baptism of repentance, a change of direction for your life. Now, some people, like our church, infant baptism, some believe only in the baptism of believers for adults. You get saved, born again, then you are baptized. Yet here came a man to be baptized whose life path, Jesus's, had been mapped out before the creation of the world. Already a plan for him. John tried to talk Jesus out of undergoing this rite. He said, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me to be baptized? Something's not right here. John knew that there was something special, very special, about Jesus. Remember that John was Jesus' cousin. He knew him very well. The two boys probably had contact over the years. Maybe they played together as children. Maybe they hung out together as teenagers. Whatever their relationship, it is evident that John held his youngest cousin in awe. It would only be later, when John was facing death, that he would ask Jesus if he was the Messiah. But John knew that Jesus was closer to God than he was. There was no doubt in his mind. He said, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. Just doesn't fit the scheme. And I love the way Pastor Daniel Schroeder put it. He said, it's like if professional quarterback Brett Favre was saying to you, would you throw me some passes? Mike, you're a fan. Can you see Brett Favre coming to you and asking if you would throw, sure, teach him to throw some passes? From your golden arm. And you probably say, well, Brett, you know, maybe you ought to teach me to throw some passes. I'd be glad to throw it back and forth, but you probably need to teach me. That's kind of like it would be in this John the Baptist and Jesus thing. Yeah, I'd be glad to toss the ball around with you, but man, you're the two-time MVP. You've won a Super Bowl. Maybe you ought to be teaching me how to throw the ball. In the same way, John recognized Jesus as the one who didn't need repentance or forgiveness in baptism. John knew that Jesus was much greater than he was, and he wasn't even fit to tie Jesus' sandals. And now Jesus wants to be baptized by him, and John's thinking, this is just backwards. This shouldn't be happening this way. In spite of John's misgivings about baptizing Jesus, Jesus says to him, "Let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." To fulfill Scripture. This has been God's plan for humanity all along, and it needs to happen. This isn't just something that we're just doing. This is part of the plan. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, the Gospel of John tells us he went up out of the water, and that moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Jesus, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, with him I am well pleased." Now I would like to deal with two aspects of baptism. First, our need to be made clean, and second, how baptism seals our identity as children of God. A story is told about Queen Victoria of Great Britain. On the occasion she went to visit a paper factory. The owner was pleased to show her through the workplace. Imagine the queen or, you know, the president coming to you and asking you to do something. He explained all the features and diverse procedures of paper production. He took her into one of the large rooms packed with many dirty rags. Many of these rags had been carried by the beggars and were very filthy and torn and just really bad condition. And these rags had been organized by the workmen. "Are you using these rags to make paper?" the queen asked. "Yes, my queen. Our finest paper is being made out of these rags." The queen appeared to be quite in profound thought. A while later, she explained what she was going through in her mind. How could these filthy rags ever be transformed into spotless, snowy paper? And the owner explained, "We have launderers who eliminate all the mud and the dirt. Then we have special chemicals that go in and wash them and clean them. Even not just the white, like handkerchief type rags, but any that have colors in them." And after a couple of days, the queen found a mysterious package on her counter that had been delivered. She was astonished to discover inside some of the most stunning snowy white paper that she had ever seen in her life. On each and every piece of paper, she found her name and a watermark with her resemblance. She also found a note from the owner of the paper mill. She said, "It doesn't matter how dark our sins are, he can make them white as snow. Just as these rags transformed may go into the royal palace and be admired, so poor sinners can be received into the palace of the great king." What a magnificent metaphor for the meaning of baptism and salvation. At our baptism, Jesus at the same time cleanses us of our sins and puts his name on us. And at that moment, we're never cleaner in our lives than we are at the moment of salvation in our baptism. The problem is, in our humanity, we walk back into sin. Sin continues to bombard us. Some do a better job of fending it off than others. And this is the part that makes continuing in our sin even worse, because God cleanses us, and when we continue in our sin and denial, in a sense, it's a mockery to God and what he has done for us. So we need to be made clean before God. The little epistle of 1 Peter is helpful at this. The writer uses the story of Noah and the ark as a metaphor concerning baptism. He writes, "God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." One of the means of baptisms is to be made clean before God and have a clear conscience towards the Almighty. This may be the greatest need we have for many people today. We may not admit it. Some of us feel pretty good about where we are in life. We come to church, we're not shooting people, we're not raping people, you know, we're not abusing children, so overall we feel, hey, I'm pretty good guy, pretty good woman. But it escapes our attention that we were created to be better than we are. There's not a person in this room that cannot be better than they are, each and every one of us. But too many churchgoers are living in denial. Some of you remember when the late Paul Summerall was the voice of the National Football League with his silky, smooth voice and understated manner. He set the standard for play-by-play announcers. But there's some things you may not know about Pat Summerall. For example, his parents separated before he was born, and he was raised by Ann, who at one point considered putting him into an orphanage. Summerall was born with a club foot. Doctors surgically repaired it, a radical procedure, very radical for the 1930s. But the doctors told his family that he would never be able to run, he would never be able to play, he would certainly never be able to do sports. In spite of his hardship, Pat Summerall was such an athlete that as a high school senior, after turning down a basketball scholarship from the legendary University of Kentucky coach Adolph Roop, he opted to play football, basketball, and baseball for the University of Arkansas. He played professional baseball before moving on to a career to play in the NFL, and then he retired and became the legendary broadcaster. And there was only one flaw when Summerall's sterling career in sports, he became addicted to alcohol. Alcohol is a horrible addiction, just as being addicted to drugs, being addicted to gambling. There's so many addictions that are out there that people are struggling with and having a hard time getting away from. But there are several threads that are common to really any addiction. The first is denial. I don't really have a problem. I'm not even really doing this. I only do it occasionally. I'm not hurting anybody. Denial, 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 all the way down the line. Then lying. Lying to family. First of all, they're lying to themselves. Then they lie to those that are closest to them. They lie to their family. Then they lie to their friends. They lie to the coworkers. They'll lie to, if they're in church, they'll lie to church members. It doesn't matter because their addiction is more important than anything else. They'll look you in the eye and lie to you. I've been through it in my whole life. I've seen it. I've lived through it, as many of you have, whether it's been a spouse or a child or a parent. Some of you know. Another one is stealing. They will steal first from their family because they're closest to them. And they will steal. And they'll, no, I didn't steal. They will steal. They'll steal from their friends. They'll steal from work. They'll steal from an organization. They'll even steal from a church. It doesn't matter because their addiction is the overpowering thing in their life, and that is really all that matters to them. Everything else is secondary in their life. Everything. Because everything is driven by their addiction. Everything. So Pat Summerall is going through this with his alcoholism. And he and fellow broadcaster, he said he partied hard off the field. He said, we raised Cain. He said, I was the first guy at the bar and the last to leave. He didn't think he had a problem. I don't have a problem. I'm just drinking, just partying a little bit, letting loose a little bit, relaxing a little bit. The result was irreparable damage to the liver, which resulted later in a liver transplant. Summerall was told that if he kept on drinking, he was going to die. After checking himself into the Betty Ford Clinic, his counselor urged him to seek a better life through faith, and so at age 66, Pat Summerall was baptized. He said it was such a magnificent feeling, he wrote in his autobiography, after the baptism, I felt so clean. I knew what people were talking about when they talk about being born again. I had that feeling. I had a feeling of peace. I felt smarter, lighter, quicker. It was a feeling like I never had before. In the little epistle of 1 John, we read, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or wickedness. We have that right as a Christian to confess our sins as Christians before him. For some of us, that is the greatest need we have. The problem may not be the addiction, but facing what we have and confessing it so we can be on the road to recovery. For some people, it might be the memory of a past sin that still haunts them. Maybe they haven't done it again, but it haunts them and they can't let go of it. It may be the memory of a past hurt that still handicaps us and we're not allowing ourselves to move forward. And some of us need to be reminded ourselves as Martin Luther, I have been baptized. You have been made clean by Christ's sacrifice on your behalf. Like those dirty rags that fill that paper factory, your sins, though they are many, have been made white as snow. But you now have to do is to seek to keep the rag that was once dirty, clean. And you have to seek to keep it clean by living a godly life on a daily basis. And you have been given a new identity. Last week we talked about a new name, but you've been given a new identity, the mark of a king on your life. The new identity is not so you can hide. It's not so you continue to sin and keep asking God to forgive you. It is so you can become empowered to live the new life that God has called you to live. A holy and a righteous life. No, we'll never be perfect. We will fall short. But it is up to you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to make that attempt to move forward and to live that life that you've been called to live. You've been given a new identity so you can rise above the evil of this world and become the child of God that you have been called to be. And this is what baptism is about. It's a symbol that our sins have been washed away. They no longer can separate us from God. And we've been made a child of the King, beautiful in his eyes. With Martin Luther, let us affirm, I have been baptized. And that makes all the difference in the world if we will allow it to. Remember your baptism before you continue the way that you are living. Remember your baptism before you speak. Remember your baptism before you act. Remember that you are a Christian and a child of God, and you represent God in everything and all that you do, in the church, in your family, at work, at play. I've been baptized, and I am a child of God. Is what I am doing right? Will it make God proud? If not, get help. Seek out help, and be honest with the people that you're trying to get help from. Don't hide the truth from them. God already knows it. Get real help. Remember your baptism, and it can help you keep from destroying your life and the lives of those around you. May God bless you. Amen. Hymn of Response 319, we bless the name of Christ the Lord.
sanctuary this day. I hope you have a sense of peace. If you have addictions and sins in your life, and we all have something. We all need help. Seek out that help, wherever it might be. Face the truth. Live a better life upon this earth. You'll be happier. Those around you will be happier. God certainly will be happier for it. Go out into the world and spread the name of Jesus Christ. Give people a chance to have hope. Be blessed by the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.